Welcome back into Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM, 16 minutes after 5 o'clock. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, they are expecting the White House Coronavirus Task Force to give us an update. Again, that's expected to begin here in about 15 minutes or so. But before we find out what's going on in our nation's capital, we are going to find out what's going on with the local beat. And in order to help us do that, we bring in Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. When they're able to reopen, stop by and see Jim and Bob and the entire gang at Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street, right across from the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, how are you today?
I'm good, Bull. Working from the home office today, so I'm not in Lorain County right now, but still making calls and still trying to get the news out there to our fine readers and listeners.
And certainly a lot of news to discuss. Front page story today, talking about U.S. Steel's plans to idle the Lorain tubular plant and lay off 250 employees. Tough news to hear for sure. What are some of the details on this story?
Yeah, a real gut punch there, unfortunately, primarily due to the market, quite honestly. There's just a lot of foreign steel, foreign tube products, foreign pipes coming into the States. And basically, U.S. Steel said that it's market conditions that have led to this. Now, in the past, that same plant up there on East 28th has had I don't want to say work stoppages, but it's had brief shutdowns. It's had layoffs in the past, but now we're looking at about 250 workers who are going to be laid off as soon as May 24th. Really, just kind of kind of unsettling and kind of hurts, the folks up there. So we send our best to them and hope that they can get reemployed, real soon. But it's the market. It's the economy, as they used to say. You're basically looking at, you're looking at this as not a result of the COVID-19 outbreak, as a result of the pandemic, but just bad timing.
And I think a lot of what you're hearing about the market right now has to do with the effects that, if we haven't experienced already, will soon, of COVID-19. And, here in Lorain County, we talked about this at the very beginning of the show. We came on shortly after the state of Ohio had their daily briefing with Governor Mike DeWine, Lieutenant Governor John Husted, and Dr. Amy Acton as well, going over some of the details. And, while there are 564 cases in Ohio, at least as of now, here in Lorain County, 30 different cases. Dave, you guys have been all over this over at the Chronicle Telegram, grasping it from every different angle. What kinds of updates do you have, and details as well, on the number of cases of COVID-19 here in Lorain County and who all has tested positive?
Yeah, well, we're hovering between somewhere between 29 and 30 right now. The state had 30 reported, and Lorain County Public Health, last I checked, had 29. There will be a difference, in those numbers above, of a couple, a handful, day to day, depending on when, public health gets reports into the Ohio Department of Health, or if somebody reported to the Ohio Department of Health and hasn't yet reported to Lorain County Public Health. So we're going to see a difference, a handful of cases, in those numbers that are reported daily. At 2 o'clock, the updates come around 2 o'clock. You can go to LorainCountyHealth.com for those updates. We have them at ChronicleT.com as well. We're trying to report those out by on Twitter, on our Facebook page, that kind of thing. For right now, we had earlier reported that there's a Lorain police officer who is currently in 2 weeks quarantine. An Avon Lake police officer who's on 2 weeks quarantine. The most recent today was an Abbey Wood employee who had tested positive, but that person had very little contact with residents there at the nurse facility. Has been off for a week and a half. A little more than a week, I should say. Not a week and a half, but a little more than a week now, about 8 days, and had very little contact. So that's not there's concern, but obviously. No word of a spread right there. We're working on confirming other rumors that we've heard and trying to crush crush the untrue ones and and then confirm the true ones. So again, you know, we're seeing, you know, a rapid, you know, increase in the number of confirmed cases as people get tested, as hospitals report in, that kind of thing. So we'll, you know, we'll keep you updated, like we said, you know, online in the Chronicle print edition, and just kind of go from there. You know, it's a rapidly evolving story, and we'll keep you posted as best we can.
How has that affected the way you guys do things in the newsroom? You mentioned that you're working today, but you're working from home, and I know that certainly has affected different places, different companies so much differently, but how has that affected the way you guys do things in the newsroom?
Well, we started doing some video meetings. We started that today, you know, to kind of talk about our coverage, doing a lot by, you know, a lot by cell phone, a lot of emails back and forth. You know, teleconferencing and telephone conferencing, video conferencing, text, email, you know, you name it. You know, one of the benefits that we have is the availability of technology. So that's really come in very handy, you know, for our purposes. We have a couple people, you know, our photographers are around Lorain County, and fortunately we are essential employees. The state said that media and those who communicate with the public are essential workers right now, trying to get the message out. And, you know, a lot of people can, you know, can jump online and look stuff up, but also we're giving a bit more, you know, context as we possibly can to all of these stories, and telling stories of individuals and companies and organizations, you know, as we come up with more ideas for what people need to know.
Again, we're being joined on the hotline by Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram and our local beat brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. All right, Dave, we'll kind of take a turn here in our interview. We'll talk about some things that are a bit more positive. And I want to start by giving you an opportunity to brag about the Chronicle-Telegram and a lot of your cohorts as well for bringing home a host of different awards. You guys really cleaned up this weekend.
Yeah, the Ohio Associated Press Media Editors Contest. We at the Chronicle Telegram took second prize for general excellence in Division 4 for newspapers with daily circulation between 19,000 and 60,000, and also took second place for digital presence, which is nice for our online presence. Best daily sports section in that division, our sports department, those guys, covering local sports, covering, you know, obviously the, you know, professional sports and local sports are kind of on hiatus right now. But for covering the Indians, for covering the Browns, for covering local sports, it's really nice that the community can say they have the best daily sports section in that division. Graphics, layouts, photos were all highly regarded. We won for Spot News for our coverage of the fire in downtown Grafton. For video and social media on that story as well. Our sister paper in Medina, and the former reporter Scott Mahoney took third place for reporting on the reopening of the Angela Hicks murder, which happened back in 1990. Lena Yost took second place in the best explanatory reporting category for her EdChoice voucher stories. Carissa Whitehatch took second in enterprise reporting for ongoing coverage of Lorain schools. Renee Jeffers, best columnist. Kevin Apriel, sports editor, second place for best headline writer. Editorial page editor Brad Dickin, best editorial writer. Scott Petrek, best sports writer. Kristen Bauer, Tom Fetchenko, won sports and other photo awards, as did Bruce Bishop, our chief photographer. So just all around, grabbed up a good number of awards voted on by some folks in the state up north, who helped us out with that. So it was really nice to see that, to see that group of awards that our fine staff got.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Dave, we can close out on this. You threw a couple my way on social media yesterday. Laugh a minute with some of these. And sometimes we just need a good laugh, especially in these very uncertain times. With some of your scanner stories, you threw one at me yesterday that involved a couple of people with poles.
There was a report on the scanner that I heard, and I tweeted that one out that was basically
two persons in the woods fighting with poles. Don't know if they were planning for gladiatorial combat or post-apocalyptic Mad Max type style fighting in the Thunderdome. If that's not too much of a deep cut for children of the 80s, you might remember that. And that was among several that I saw. The other one I saw was quote naked male throwing things around. hashtag Mondays.
Yikes. Well, scanner stories always give us something to look forward to and laugh at, if nothing else. Dave, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to catching up again next week.
Sounds good, Bull. And everybody, stay safe, wash your hands, and stay at home for the time being.
Yes, indeed. Truer words have never been spoken. That's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. They're here in Elyria on Broad Street, right across from the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry. If you stop by, you'll see why.